I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood Podcast episode number 552. You heard it here last. All right, this is Electric Sisterhood and I'm your guest host Suri. Ninja is at PAX West in Seattle this week and Panda is taking it easy. Once again, I have stepped in to present another clip show, but this week's show will be brand new for you. That's because the girls sometimes go a little long. We try to hold the shows under 80 minutes. Sometimes what they say gets held back for occasions like this. So what you hear today will be presented to the public for the very first time. The first thing you'll hear is something deleted from episode 543. In that show, Panda talked about playing the game Rakuen.
I'm also currently playing another game that we got on Steam called Rakuen, which is from the music composer of the game To the Moon that I played many years ago.
I remember that.
And it's...
You fucking obsessed on that game.
Because that... I think that was one of the first real big game, like, first game experiences that really made me cry at, like... Was really great all around. And we actually almost used one of the composer's songs in my wedding, but both of us couldn't get through it without crying, so we're like, no, probably not the way we want to start off the event with a tearjerker like that.
Dude, I'm trying to remember, like, the first game to, like, legit make me cry.
Like, for me, it was To the Moon, so just briefly...
I think it might have been Last of Us for me.
Oh, man, which, like, legit, that means like, it... Ball. Right. But, like, I think gamers are becoming more about the experience and not necessarily the mechanics of how something works. Like, they want to feel right. something now in their mediums, which I think is great.
It's the thing that we have been talking about for the last 11 years. Give me a good story. Give me... And a good story means emotional connection. Like, I need to... These players, these characters, the things that they're doing and going through that I'm guiding them through, they need to resonate with me on some level. Like, you need to emotionally evoke me, because that's what, you know, King makes a franchise.
Right.
And everybody's different. Like, some people have emotional, like, reactions with Gears and Halo and, you know...
Well, that's the whole camaraderie.
Fucking
like,
Skyrim.
Like... You know, Gears of War, you've got your team of bros, and they all come from different walks of life, and here they are having to fight this big bad together. And then you realize that all their pieces are what make them strong.
I think I might have cried when Dom died, which would have predated Last of Us.
Yeah.
I think I might have cried when Dom died.
But that immersion and that resonance, I think, needs to really, it has to happen. So,
yep.
But quickly going to Rakuen a little bit, because I'm maybe 3 hours into this game, but already, like, the mind gears in my head are shifting, like, what is going to
Your
happen?
Your mind gears are shifting?
Are shifting. So in this game, you play as a little boy. It's done by an RPG maker. So very similar to, like, Mad Father kind of animation and kind of
Mad
like
Father
To the Moon.
I actually enjoyed.
But that's the style. Get the idea of that.
Okay.
But you're a little boy in the hospital. You're pretty sick, but they don't say exactly what you're sick with. They make it sound like you have a better chance than the people on your floor to live. But then, like I said, they don't tell you what you're sick with. And your mom is coming to visit you, but she's, like, not very close. So I guess you're, like, in the best hospital that could treat your illness. You don't hear much about your dad. You have a baby brother, but they don't really talk about that. And she's coming to visit you for, like, the weekend. Because, like, she sent your little brother to the grandparents so that she could spend time with you. She left a book with you called Rakuen, which is literally called, like, Paradise Garden. I think that's the translation of the Japanese word. And it's about this forest spirit called Montezuma, who has the ability to grant warriors or travelers who seek him out and find him in his forest a wish. You know, and she read it to you, the player, every night. And you have in your head that, you know, if you can get out of this hospital, you will find this forest and you will ask Montezuma to make you better and, like, not kill you. And one night your book gets stolen and you find this old man who has it. And he's like, I thought this was the book, but it's not the book. And apparently, like, your book opens the doorway. So, like, you have this magical book. And when your mom finally does show up, she's like, I guess I need to tell you now that, like, this story isn't fake. It's real. And, like, there's this silver medallion thing on the book. And she's like, so who took this? Whoever took this book knows that this book is the key to get to the world. But they need the key to open this part of the book to initiate it. And she's just like, let's go on one last big adventure. You know, and you as a kid, you're like, hell yeah. Like, because you're like 7, maybe. You're not an old kid. And your mom is just like, I have this magical book that will take you to this land. And you go there and you meet Montezuma, or rather you find him, but he's asleep. Like, he's under this magical spell that he's asleep. And, like, he's got, like, these guardian spirits who are like, so we need this certain song that will awaken him. And the only way for us to do that is to slowly seep the essence of our world into your world, because they're so linked, they're parallel to each other that they kind of draw off of each other. So there are certain people in your world who have counterparts in Montezuma's world, and you have to kind of help them cope with whatever's going on. So most of the people who are on your floor are different types of animals or creatures in Montezuma's world. And they have the exact same problem. That's where the parallel lines are. And you have to help them solve whatever their problems are to re-strengthen the bonds between the worlds and whatever. And this will somehow release the songs, or at least that's what I think is happening. So, you know, you've got one guy, his wife's in a coma, and, like, she's not dead, she's just not there. And someone steals her wedding band, and, like, the husband wants the ring back. So you have to find where the ring is and bring the ring back. And then you kind of meet her spirit sort of in the other world. And there's something else going on there. I'm on that track right now. This one girl who had a best friend who I think dies, but she hasn't said anything about it yet. But she's like, I need to get back to the tree where we used to meet because I think she's waiting for me. So, like, this game is sad. So, like, I think everyone who's on my floor is terminally ill, which makes me think that the character that we are is also terminally ill. Okay. But they haven't fully divulged that for us. Because at one point, one of the ghosts that we encounter who's with Montezuma is just like, and there's somebody who isn't willing to let go, who's holding on to something. Like, she's holding on to the most precious thing because she just can't bear to let it go. And, like, you're wandering this world with your mom, which makes me think that, like, you're actually, like, in a coma, and this is all happening in your mind because you're dying. And your mom is what's keeping you there. And that's what I think. It's what I think. I'm not sure if that's what's going to happen. But I think after you help all the other people solve their problems and they, like, get better, and by that I mean die, because I think that's what's going to happen. They're all going to die, but all their business will be done. Then the last thing will be you, like, telling your mom that she needs to let you go.
Dude!
Like, yeah.
I can't play this game.
Like, that's what I think is going to happen.
Can't do that.
Like, you're going to have this one last epic adventure with her, and they'll be like, alright, mom, like, it's time. And she's going to have, like, that upset, like, what are you talking about? And, like, you're gonna have to face the fact that you're dead, and then she's, or rather, you're dying, and, like, she has to, you know, just let you die. I think it's gonna happen. I don't know. It's gonna be done in such a beautiful way. So I'm going to play through it, and once I've played through it, I'll confirm whether or not I'm right, but I strongly believe that I am. Because, I mean, okay, I would.
And what's this game called?
Rakuen. So it's Rakuen. It's on Steam. You can play it, I think, on, like, Microsoft and Macs, because, you know, Laura Shigeharu is pretty awesome like that. That makes the most sense for me, narrative-wise, for the way that the game is going, with everyone having really bad, not bad, but sad, tragic backstories. I mean, he could save all of them and, like, make them all better, or at least make their illnesses less terminal. But it doesn't, it wouldn't make much sense for me for him to, one, for this mystical world to be real, and for this magical entity to, like, cure his kid cancer or brain-eating disease or whatever it is that's killing him. I think it's got to be beyond that for it to feel real enough. Like, I could definitely, it kind of reminds me of that game that I want to play, but no, I just don't have the mental or emotional strength to play it, that Dragon Cancer game. That, oh, like,
yeah, no, I don't have the emotional fortitude to play that Dragon Cancer.
I want to.
I respect the game. I respect the creators so much. But, like, I started to watch somebody play. I can't remember who it was. But I was watching a YouTuber play it, and I had to stop about 6 minutes in. I was like, no, I'm going to be emotionally wrecked if I just watch this person actually complete this game. I'm going to be emotionally wrecked. Because, you know, for me, I tend to watch YouTubers play a game first when I'm unsure of whether or not I want to jump into the game or not, to see if they have an experience similar to the experience that I would have. Like, when I'm trying to figure out whether or not I'm going to play a shooter, I tend to watch Jacksepticeye, because I tend to have the same types of feelings, reactions, and playstyle that Jack does in those games. So he's kind of like my Sherpa on the, like, 9 times out of 10, if Jack is good at it and enjoys it, I'm going to enjoy it. Whereas when I'm looking at, like, quick one-off, like, Steam games, puzzle games, things like that, I'll look at Markiplier. Because, you know, outside of, like, his reactions, typically the way that he thinks about puzzle games is similar to the way that I think about puzzle games. And the things that I appreciate about puzzle games are similar to what he appreciates. So I have, like, certain go-to YouTubers that I look at to basically be my try before I buys. And I can't remember who it was. I think I was just looking at, like, some random YouTuber who was playing that Dragon Cancer, because I was on the fence on whether or not I really should jump into the game just because of the personal experience I have with cancer taking many family members.
Right, yes.
And at the
time, well, that's the thing. Like,
recently,
like I said,
our mom.
Right, right.
So I
agree.
Like,
I don't know.
And but, yeah, like, 5 minutes in, I was like, nope, nope.
Like, nope. I'm so intrigued by it. And, like, I feel like
it is intriguing. It is
like
gorgeous,
I'd walk away from it.
It's going to emotionally wreck you.
I feel like I'd walk away from it, like, and I don't want to say better, because that's not what I'm expecting. Like, I'm not expecting to walk through that game and be like, you know what, I am cured. I am more self-actualized. No. Like, that's not, like, I'm not looking at this game as a treatment for, you know, coping with my reality. But I do feel like it does allow me to feel like somebody understands and has walked in the same footprints that I have in this. So
I would, like, say that you will more than likely definitely get that feeling.
Yeah.
The difficulty comes in all the other stuff that comes along with it that could be unexpected.
Right,
like,
yeah.
I started to have unexpected emotional things happen within the first 5 minutes of the game.
So, I mean, and, like, I want to do it. And, like, my husband's like, I don't know if you're ready. And I'm like, neither do I. But, you know, the thing about it, I think,
is it is a game. So you could get to a point and be like, you know what? I need to walk away from this and turn
right.
it off.
And I could. But I think I wouldn't do that because, I mean, we've experienced quite a lot, you and I, in our lives, and have had a lot of things happen around us and to us that I think a lot of people in our circles have yet to experience. You know what I mean?
So true. So true.
And I mean, and I
was going to say crucial truth, and it came out croosh.
But our friends are wonderful. But I mean, I've had a lot of our friends come and be like, what is that like? Like, I've had some who are dealing with very similar, who have just started their path through, you know, acceptance of what is happening in their lives. And they all come to me. Like,
I don't know that I've gotten to acceptance yet, but
I mean, closer. I mean, they're... Yes, we have, and no, we haven't. Because, I mean,
right?
we have walked through the fire, we have the scars on our feet, and now we are learning to walk with those scars and what that means. Ooh. So, like, deep. So the actual impact has happened. We've accepted that that has happened because, one, there's no diminishing that because, you know, it's not like we can open the door and there they are. Like, that it hasn't happened. But I think...
Yeah,
but,
I don't know. But this is really deep, and...
And the fact that games...
I love to talk about things that are, like, completely not deep.
I just love the fact that games are bringing up such heavy-hitting, honest conversations out of people.
But I think that it comes from, look at who's making games now, right?
Right.
When you look at the developers, especially independents, okay, it's people like us. It's you and me who've grown up... with the technology, with, you know, stories that were lackluster, repeats of just, you know, different color sprites, but the same game mechanics, who want more and are now learning these tools to tell great stories and are really looking at the video game platform as just another way to tell a story that allows people to be interactive as opposed to really be a game. Like, when I think through my experience playing Heavy Rain, playing Beyond Two Souls, you know, playing games like The Last of Us, and hell, even the Uncharted series, okay, when you look at those guys, and then you look at some games like a Limbo, and you look at a game like that Dragon Cancer, and you look at
the game inside, like
Papers, Please, Inside, to me, those are not necessarily like what people would think of when they think of video games. They are really great stories that happen to be on this platform. If you took Limbo and made it an animated movie, I would have the same emotional reaction to it.
I think that would have to be a series, though.
It would. But if you made it an animated thing, I would have the same emotional reaction. We'd have the same what-if conversations. Because it's a great story. It just happens to be delivered on this interactive platform.
Yeah.
Same thing with Last of Us. If you took Last of Us and you made Last of Us a TV series, a live-action TV series, which kind of The Walking Dead sort of is.
Actually, now that I think about it, if you made Last of Us like a movie, it would essentially kind of be Logan, but without mutants.
Okay, but if you were to make it a TV series... it would still fit and it would still work.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, so to me, those are just great stories that happen to use this particular medium as their way of connecting with an audience. But they would work in other mediums. And for me, that's the hallmark of a really good story. If I can take this story and I can bring it to another medium and it's just as good, just as involving, just as relevant, and strikes, you know, just as strong an emotional chord with me, then you're telling a great story. If I can heavy lift that and put that into books, or I can heavy lift that and make a feature-length film, or I can heavy lift that... and I can, you know, take it from any of those mediums and bring it to video games and it still do all those things, then it's a great story. Okay? As an example, look at what happened with Assassin's Creed, the movie. No. Because they left all of the things that made Assassin's Creed somewhat interesting and abandoned it all.
Yeah.
And did something completely different that they thought would work in that medium, as opposed to just heavy lifting what was working in this medium to the other one. Because it wasn't for lack of good actors, because they had a great fucking cast. They just lifted and dropped a story and did
They plugged in a
different.
Story that they thought... could,
right.
would work in that, and it
is. And for mainstream, instead of taking what was already working in this medium and putting it in the other medium,
yeah.
and letting the audience discover it that wasn't already familiar with it from the other medium.
So.
And it's like they didn't trust it. So I think if you think you're ready to try that Dragon Cancer, you should.
It's a journey.
I'm not ready for it yet. I'm not sure.
Last spring, in episode 527, Ninja held her annual roundtable at PAX East, which ran a little long. Here is the entire, uncut last portion of that recording. featuring King Baby Duck, Edie Sellers, Robert Workman, David Jiltunen, Adam Ellison, and Chris O'Regan.
All right, so we are coming up on time for the podcast here. I want to thank each of you for joining us. I'd like to get your final thoughts about the show, what you've seen. You know, does it remind you of why you love being a gamer? And
like, what's your biggest takeaway? Like, what's the thing you're walking out of here like,
fuck gamers and I'm done? Exactly. And then, obviously, don't forget to plug all your shiz.
Oh, show.
Hey, wait, aren't you going to ask my favorite game?
No, no.
Mario Kart 8 Deluxe.
That was Plants vs. Zombies.
So we'll start with you.
Oh, my takeaway is that, once again, I am astounded how awesome gamers are. Not, I mean, the games are good, everything else is good, but the fact that you can put this many people in such a small place, pretty much living on top of each other 24 hours a day.
And they're all cool with it.
And we're all cool with it.
And we're not being dicks about it
either. We're not dicks. Oh my gosh.
Most
we
of are, us
we are
dicks.
Proof that society can be better. Every time you go, fuck the world, I hate people, people are assholes, you're out on the street, traffic's terrible, you go to a sports arena and it's
that's just Boston having,
but I'm from California.
It's part of our charm.
See, you go to like a Giants game and it's half the amount of, sure, a quarter of the amount of people that are here and they're dicks to each other.
Sure. Yeah.
And then you get here and you're like, you know what, there is a chance for society.
People do know how to say please and thank you,
right.
Yes, they
right.
know how to indoors.
Most people.
Well, it's so that's my takeaway. And have find my show. I am on a podcast with my two hosts, Holy Goalie and Nick DiNicola. I am the ringleader. Nick DiNicola is a smart one. Holy Goalie is insanely funny. And we're a gaming podcast by adults for adults. And you can find us at gamehounds.net. We record live. We actually broadcast live. Mm-hmm. So you can join us live as we're broadcasting every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, and you can find us on Spreaker, and that's Speaker with an R, Spreaker.com. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on iHeartRadio. You can find us on SoundCloud and a bunch of other places, but you can find all those links by going to gamehounds.net.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
There you go.
Okay, what's my opinion, Rochelle?
You like it a lot.
I am a shell, that's happy.
I am sorry. So, I've been to several of these now, and you know, I had the option this year of either going to GDC or PAX East, and I had to come to PAX East because, I mean, my community's here. I just love these shows. I really do. And being able to cover for the first time for my team at Worldwide Gaming, WWG.com, by the way, it is really something. I mean, I got to talk to my boss last night. They were overwhelmed. Like, both my boss, Jared, and my coworker, Matt Hayes, who are good friends, they were overwhelmed by how great a show PAX really is. Because you get to really just talk to the people. You talk to the developers. You get to connect with people in certain ways. You just can't do at E3. And it's really something. And I can't get enough every year of seeing great friends, making new friends. There's just experience out of it. And, you know, like, even dealing with people who aren't on your level, you know, like, you know, they do something completely different than you, you still find that connection with them. That's just the magic of the show. And like I said, being able to convey that with the site I work on is really something, you know. And then, obviously, we're doing stuff for the podcast, too, the ARC podcast over at RetroZap.com. Plug. And it's always a lot of fun. It's always a lot of fun just talking to people and getting inside their heads and just really getting that better understanding of why our community works so well.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And you know, it doesn't matter what age you are, it doesn't matter if you bring Tibble, if you try and you know, you're not an asshole about it, because I know some people who are. But it's always great to see the positivity that comes out of it. That's why I love these events. And that's why I'm looking forward to PAX West more than E3, I think.
Mm-hmm.
That and Seattle beers, of course.
Yeah,
way
that
better
beardo.
Than LA beers.
Oh, that beardo.
LA yeah. sucks.
But I mean, like, just sitting around with you guys and shooting the shit. You know, I have Rochelle get mad at me.
Story of my life.
I feel. I mean, just being able to sit around with Rochelle and Evan and David and all of you guys and just shoot the shit and relax. That's what the show's about. You could go to all the rave parties in the world, like whatever the hell Monster Cat was, and you could just, whatever, get lost in that. Or you can go and you could sit down with people and really just feel like you belong.
Yes,
yeah.
I mean, you know, because that's the thing. Like, sometimes you just can't relate. You can't relate sitting in front of a computer. You can't. It's always great to see the people and talk to the people.
Yeah, the human touch. Time.
And then open your computer in front of those people.
They see enough of me. So.
But no, again, thank you for having me on the show. If you want to check out my work, WWG.com and RetroZap.com. We are actually recording an episode later today. Mm-hmm. You guys are welcome to come back and join us if you wish.
Absolutely.
Ooh, cool. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I've been to a lot of shows as well as either an attendee, an exhibitor. I've done a lot of work. I'm pretty new to the scene, being media and all that, but I've been an exhibitor with Game Church. They're actually on the floor. I don't know. I don't want to bring religion.
Welcome to the Kool-Aid.
That's fine, but...
no, this is a safe space
all right,
for all things.
I'll definitely give them a plug.
Oh, Judge.
GameChurch.com. It's a great website. They do a lot of articles about like how it interacts with culture and... A lot of more in-depth questions than just, oh, this is an 8 out of 10 for XYZ. They go into it. They go all to the into the threads of the game and all that.
The theology of sorts, too.
Yeah, that too as well. I mean, you got to touch on that a little bit with a name like that. Yeah, they're great guys. They aren't going to shove Christianese down your throat. They're definitely not like that. They're great guys. They'll go out and get a beer with you and just talk games and anime and all that fun stuff. They're mm-hmm. you're geeks just like all of us. Mm-hmm. So definitely shout out to them. I also do a podcast as well, brand new, just getting off the ground, called The Culture Dudes. We will be recording...
Billy Nichols.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Billy Nichols.
I know Billy.
Yes. That's definitely what I've gathered the most on my trip here. But no, it's a lot of fun. We'll be doing a PAX East roundup show later this evening. First episode's up on iTunes, I believe. You can check that out. It's a lot of fun. It's all pop culture, comics, anime, movies, whatever you can think of. It's a lot of fun. But yeah, as for the energy of the show, it's great. Like I said, I've been to a lot of different shows, Comic-Con, Dragon Con, PAX East, PAX Prime. PAX East is always one of my favorite shows. I'd say if Comic-Con and E3 had a baby, this is what you get.
Yeah.
You feel comfortable talking to developers. E3 is very business-like. It's here's my card, we'll talk over coffee or whatever. But this is, you're in it. You're part of it. Everyone's part of it. It's a community. The energy is just fantastic this time around. It's not very... I mean, doing a show is always energy draining, but this one I'm always excited to come back to. It's phenomenal. It's great.
Yeah, I'll play as like the Homer of the group because I'm from Boston and everything, and it's this is like my favorite time of year. Honestly, it's really cool to see like the gaming community all kind of converge like in the city, and it's just
it's Christmas in March.
It's Christmas in March.
We have snow
for sure. Yeah, exactly.
Not snow, just fucking bitter cold.
We got like a website I know like who like sells like snow from New England to like other parts because people want it for some reason. Could have it too, it's just really cool to kind of see like the gaming community come together. See all the game devs and everything. I'm a big champion for like indie games. I love the indie game scene and like seeing all the amazing ideas like come together with these like very unique just games just coming together like in one space. It's great, and like it just seems to kind of get bigger and bigger every year. Like I've been doing it since like it started back when it was at the Heinz Convention Center.
Oh man, I remember
year one.
Staying
at the poorhouse.
Exactly. You know what's up. It's just blowing up like enough to like now like it's here at the Boston Convention Center, and I couldn't be prouder honestly for like my city and everything. It's kind of like being like a hub for that, and seeing all the like amazingly nice people and everything like here converging together for our love of gaming, because ultimately we're here. We do like a lot of business and everything. We do like our shows and whatever. We're trying to network and all that all that stuff, but. We are covering an industry that's all about fun, and so like it's just basically
dude,
it's all
like
about
I
fun.
Said, I can walk around like wearing this, and people exactly. understand it.
I mean, you're not going to find out.
People still see
like,
you as a respectable businessman.
Exactly. I'm a journalist.
You're a journalist.
I take you seriously.
Hey, don't laugh.
Yeah. I wouldn't have.
But I'm definitely going to have to buy one of those.
Seriously.
It's hilarious.
Conversation, too.
But, again, it's my favorite time of the year. Always proud to, see PAX East, roll in, every time. And, I've only missed, one PAX East ever, and I probably won't ever again. So, it's great, for sure.
And basically everybody already talked about what was so great about this. The one thing that you guys didn't mention is the passion. The passion from the gamers, the passion from the developers, the passion from the publishers, the passion from everybody that comes to this event. Yep. they are just brimming with love for this industry, and that's what makes PAXI such a wonderful convention. And it's a prime example of why I always look forward to coming here every single year. And it's catching up with old friends, catching up with people that you haven't seen in a while, making new friends, mm-hmm. finding really cool stuff, finding that diamond in the rough game that more people should discover and play. That's what PAX East to me is all about. I am so blessed to be a part of this whole community. Mm-hmm. And I'm blessed to be a part of the Electric Sisterhood, who have given me a voice on their website.
You had the voice. We just gave you a microphone. You had the voice.
Just go.
There. Here's the soapbox.
Yeah. Evan's doing this thing again. Stand back.
For giving me the voice here on the Electric Sisterhood, for having my stuff on Boston Bash Brigade, be it my anime reviews, my No Borders No Race podcast, which is the J-pop and alternative hotspot, and my one-on-one interview series where you're going to hear some developer interviews after PAX East. So consider that like a sister to this PAX East roundtable. And I do want to also give a big shout out to my buddies Andrew and Jonathan Fleming from Wicked Anime, who have opened up a seat for me, making me an official member. You can check them out at nerdyshow.com/wicked-anime, where we talk about anime, geek stuff, fetish of the week, fan service, and some cool stuff like these cute little plushy things. It's Shiro from No Game No Life. Thank you, Sanchi, for making this. I'm so happy.
Maybe you come here often?
And it just turned into an entire
oh my god, because he's like a plant.
Okay, ready? Let's keep it classy, guys. We're almost there.
We'll just go back to throwing children.
Anyway, thank you once again.
In the first show after last November's election, feelings ran high about the outcome. Here are the parts we left out.
Like, emotionally, got a little rocky around the 8th, and I don't know if we're talking about that on the show or
no,
not.
No, we're not going to get deep into that, because you know what? I'm not for playing into dumb stuff, and, you know, ultimately, at the end of the day, here's the deal. We just need to be excellent to each other. Bill and Ted's Excellent in Adventure had it right. We just need to be excellent to each other. Okay? And party right. on, dudes. Like, this is what we're going to do.
Party on, Rochelle.
Party on, Amanda. We're putting it all together. We're going to be excellent to each other, okay? I'm going to be excellent to you, and I'm going to be excellent to everybody that I encounter, whether they're excellent to me or not, because that's just the way I was raised, and it's the right thing to do, because people are people, humans are humans, and we have to treat each other with respect. So, that's what we're going to do. And eventually, more people will be like us. So, that's the positive thing. Hashtag... Fuck America again.
if it's brown, time to go down.
If it's brown, it's time to get down.
Anyway, so I mean, health wise, okay. Emotionally, got a little shaken, but you know, the
but not stirred.
Has worn off, right?
Shaken, but I mean, not stirred.
But I mean, I've come out of that in a shock, and I'm feeling better about stuff, and I'm looking at things through. The reality glasses, and I'm not through the pandemonium glasses anymore. Yeah. Yeah. I allowed myself to feel how I needed to feel and to split out what I needed to split out so that I wasn't just leaving, like, my snail trail of, like, you know, passive aggressiveness. Because, you know, I'm not trying to live that life. Right. I'm trying to live out loud now because I'm an adult.
Mm-hmm.
I like to
go on with your bad self.
Exactly. So, but overall, like, I'd say this is probably, like, I'm in a B minus zone. Like, mm-hmm. I'm steadily climbing back up to my B+, A- status.
Yeah.
But, like, I was shaking a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm okay.
I think, you know, a chunk of people were, and a chunk of people still are. And, you know, I've said this before, and I'll just say it again. You have the right to feel how you want to feel. Your feelings matter, your thoughts matter, and they're unique and your own, and they are as important as the next person next to you and the next person next to them and things like that. And the only thing that I urge people to do is to simply listen when someone is trying to tell you how they feel. Mm-hmm. And even if you don't understand or you can't completely agree, you just need to listen. And vice versa.
Acknowledge that the things have been said to and you've heard them.
And then the person that you listen to needs to listen to you as well. And I think if we just listen to each other a little bit better, well, be excellent to each other. So, you know, I think that there are a lot of people that are upset, and there are a lot of people that are afraid. And I just want to say, I hear you, and I see you, and I understand that you are afraid. And I hope that we, as a nation and as people that live on the same planet and breathe the same air, can get to a place where we're not making each other afraid to be.
Like, I'm gonna say this right now.
That's it.
This is what I'm gonna say. That I believe that the Cheetos puffs that come in the paw print are a waste of money. Get the regular Cheeto puffs. They're the same. You're getting the same amount of cheesy puff, and you don't need the commodity of the paw shape. And I said that. Someone might disagree with me and might like the novelty of the paw shape over the normal shape, and that's okay because they both taste the same, hopefully, and they're good. So you're allowed to feel however you want about cheesy puffs, but that was my opinion, that the original shape is just fine.
Yeah. See? Cheesy puffs.
And you heard me, and you let me say it.
Yeah.
And if your opinion's different than mine, that's okay, because I would listen to you if you were one of those people who wanted the paw print.
Right.
Cheetos.
You know? We have the right to want what we want. So.
That's right.
Enough of that.
Oh my god, I just had a fucking revelation. So, Star Trek. We had a lot of white captains. Then we got a black captain. And then we should have had a lady captain. Clinton should have been president. It was foretold in Star Trek. The end. I'm gonna leave it at that.
I'm not even. All right, so back to where I was.
In episode 509. Panda talked about the TV show The Walking Dead.
And lastly, of my little things, this is just a mini rant. I'm going to warn you right now, there are spoilers in this. So many spoilers. Telling you now, Walking Dead, spoilers. If you haven't watched it, don't listen to me. I'm also going to preface this.
Yeah, if you haven't watched the new season, if you didn't watch the season premiere, stop this podcast right now. Right now.
Well, here's the thing. If you haven't watched it and you didn't read the comic books, definitely don't listen to me.
Oh, for the love of Jesus, stop.
Stop right now. Don't need no hater aids here.
Yeah.
So they finally answered the question from the cliffhanger from last season. Who was going to meet their demise by Lucille, which if you don't know, Lucille is I think it's barbed-wired bat. Carried by Negan, who, if you've read the comic books, you know is a douchebag. You know he's bad news. You already know the writing on the wall or the writing on the back. With that said, I have to give this freaking company, AMC, I gotta give them some props here because they could have done so many different things. One, they could have easily not addressed it and moved on and, like, had everybody wondering, which would have been dick move number one. Two, they could stay close to the source material, which fans of the comic, like myself, definitely would have appreciated, especially because they've taken so many liberties in other areas of the comic and the universe already. Or three, they could have kept up with that tradition. Look at me doing my list. One, two, and three. Did you hear that?
I heard. You made it all the way to three.
I made it to three. And three, they could have kept with their tradition of changing or moving around key points in the source material to make it their version or their adaptation or take of the source material. And I mean, because they've taken a lot of liberties before, I had a sneaking suspicion that they were going to play this very close to the source, which I appreciated. Because if you go through the whole story of The Walking Dead, of everyone that Rick encounters and the groups that you kind of see and what happens to some people but not, for a long time, Glenn has kind of been like this little sliver of hope because he has made it out of a lot of stuff that you wouldn't think he'd be able to. Like, you know, yeah, he's a nimble little guy. Yeah, he could kind of climb on stuff and, like, jump to stuff. But, you know, there were several times in the books where clearly everything was stacked against him. So, I mean, they're sitting here rising him up to be like this little sliver of hope that no matter what happens in the world, if Glenn makes it, we're okay. And then in the books, clearly, that is not what happens. So Negan, this douchebag of a douchebag, is a leader of this group called the Saviors that's in Sanctuary. So kind of way after the prison, which that's when I stopped watching in the series because they took too many, there were too many things that happened in that season that I'm like, those don't happen till, and then that doesn't, okay, I see why you're doing it for dramatic effect, but that's not what happens. So, fuck you. I'm leaving. I'm going to leave you in your sandbox. I'm going to go back to my source material and be happy. But anyway, so there's a lot of shit that happens, obviously, after the prison. And Rick's team kind of takes out some of these dudes from the survivors. Like, it's kind of scrappy. They take them out because, you know, this is a world where, you know, people are not each other's friends anymore. This is pure survival at its worst. Like, you're wearing clothes that you've worn for the last, like, 5 months, and they're barely holding it together. Like, you are the smelliest thing. Like, you thought Indian poop, like, poop from eating Indian food was bad. Like, put some sriracha on that, microwave that in a real, like, a microwave from the 80s, smear it all over your walls, and then put cinnamon on it, and that's what you smell like. Like, it's bad. It is the worst thing. Be lucky if you're eating something that's only several days past its expiration, because in some places people are eating very old, they're getting sick, throw up and shit everywhere. It is a nightmare. Like, that's the world that they're in. So, you know, any victory, whether no matter how gruesome or how not, you know, thing having to anticipate the negative of a person, like the evil in a person, before they've had a chance to show it to you, is kind of the world that they're in. And then they meet Negan, who, like I said, is the leader of this group. And he is eerily charismatic. Like, you know, he runs this group. They're about 70 people strong, you know, and they're all about taking what they need and moving on. So because Rick and his group took out, I want to say they took out like eight of his guys. He was like, oh no, we're going to find them because they took from us. Now we're taking from them. He pretty much lines up everyone who's now in Rick's party, which has changed somewhat from the books. And he literally is playing eeny, meeny, miny, moe with his bat Lucille. And whoever it lands on at the end is, doesn't matter who it is getting Lucille to the face and probably everywhere else as well. And in the source material, this was Glenn. So as soon as they seemed to be lining up for this, I was like, okay, I'd appreciate if they were close and they did it. And they did the thing that we all know, those who read it, know is coming, because it would be a nice return to format. So it airs. And I wait for it to air because then I wait for the internet to repopulate with all this shit because I knew it was coming. And, I mean, I saw all the fan theories of, like, how he was walking and pacing and how you could totally tell that it was either going to be this person or this person. And I'm like, but cutting, you know, editing cuts, like, even with a professional, like, still, I don't think any of those fan theories were strong enough to really justify what happens. But a lot of people were like, oh, it's either going to be Abraham, who was also kind of a dip, but he's like he's a lovable dip a little bit. But, like, he's a throwaway character. Like, it wouldn't really matter if he took him out because no one's really for Abraham. Like, it would be okay. But like, and they probably put him in this group so that they could kill him, so that we could keep Glenn. Like, hopes were high. AMC did the smart thing, and they did just that. At the end of that very scary game, he's pointing at Abraham, and he takes him out, and it is bloody. And it is messy. And, you know, and the whole point of the game was, you know, they all had to sit there and watch him do it. They couldn't get up to fight him. They couldn't call out or scream. So they had to watch in silence as he did this to one of theirs. And Rick, who is leader, quotes, because at this point he's kind of a broken man. You know, this is him at his absolute lowest point. And if you've seen any parts of the series, he's already starting pretty low to start. But he takes him out and everyone's kind of whimpering and shaking and blah, blah, blah. And someone tries to kind of get up. And he's like, you know, he's like, I'm a man, Negan, mind you, I'm a man of my word. And I said, you know, you guys couldn't call out. You guys couldn't whimper. So who's next? And he turns and it's a quick turn. And there's Glenn. And boom, justice, at least source material justice. And it plays out exactly the way it does in the comic book. So I was like, oh, AMC, you had people going. You thought that they were going to have their Glenn for the rest of the series. Because, I mean, I don't think the series has much more leg to stand on. We're getting towards the end of the books, really. So they have to start kind of putting other things in place to end it well. I liked the psych out. Like, I don't think people were even remotely anticipating that AMC would be clever enough to play Wag the Dog with us. And they absolutely did it. So I have to give them a slow clap for that. You know, granted, so many people have now sworn off The Walking Dead the way that so many people swore off Game of Thrones after Jon Snow. You were gonna say God of War. God of War. Right, exactly. But I gotta give AMC some props on this. Like, I was very happy that while they gave us a misdirection, they still generally played true to what happened. I wouldn't throw it away if I was still heavily invested in it at this point, like coming back to it. I think I would play. I would continue to see what they would do to appease the Walking Dead nerd in me. So, like, I am not mad. I'm not. I think it's justifiable in the narrative, but we all know that I'm a stickler for staying true to a narrative universe. So I'm not the person to come ranting about if you're mad about it, because I'd just be like, that butt hurt hurts, bro, but that's life.
And that's all the butt hurt we have for this episode of the podcast. So
all the butt hurt is done.
A couple of Marvel Comics subjects came up in episode 487. First, the girls talked about X-Men. Then they talked about the Captain America Civil War movie.
Then the only other thing that I gotta put on the table, just real quick, because we're nerdy like that, Apocalypse. I'm trying to get hype about it.
Trying?
I'm trying to get hype about it.
Every time I see commercials, I always see the part with Olivia Munn as Psylocke, or whatever the hell her name is.
Psylocke.
Okay. So, here's the thing, and I feel really bad about it, because, like, I love X-Men, and I'm a big Storm fan. We already know this. I'm just establishing my backstory. Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't read it to the extent that a lot of my friends do. So, like, with it coming out, like, everyone has, like, kind of gone back into all the movies, even the really sucky X-Men third last
game. No, I refuse to watch all of the shitty X-Men movies.
And they've even watched all of the Wolverine movies, 17 of those.
No.
And then the third one with the Silver Surfer in it.
Will not do.
I'm just saying. But they've gone and rewatched them, and they're all, like, lining it up, like, okay, so this is what's happening in this one. And I'm just like, all I remember are, like, snippets from the TV show, the cartoon that we used to watch on Saturdays. And I don't remember Apocalypse. I remember the big metal guys with the beams in their hands that, like, would come down.
Those were Sentinels. Apocalypse was in some of the cartoon, but it was later on in the cartoon. Okay. So I read the comics. I read X-Factor. I read X-Force. You know, the precursors to X-Men, and I read X-Men as well as Uncanny X-Men.
All right,
so
I think
Uncanny is what most of what the cartoon attempted to follow.
Okay. All right.
So that's why they did the whole thing and had Cable come back, and they started to get and did the Phoenix Saga. That was all in Uncanny.
Okay, well, X-Men. In the movies, they really kind of fucked up.
And the movies fucked it up because they completely went off canon. But the movies went off canon to begin with, because Rogue was not a young child. She was, you know, in her probably mid-late 20s. You know, she and Gambit were the same age, and she and Gambit in the comics were a thing. Not her and Bobby. Not her and
fucking Wood. Iceman, right? It's Iceman?
Bobby. Yeah. Not her and Bobby. Not her having a thing for Wolverine.
Though, you know, that would be some hot, dope sex, though.
She can't touch him.
I know.
So
that's why it's hot, though.
She can't put it in.
All she has to do is keep her gloves on. And
Amanda, it's skin contact in general. That's why she had a full bodysuit.
Okay, so she wears a full bodysuit. He suffers a little bit. He regenerates. Nope. It's all good.
No, still, there's no little bit of suffering. There's no little bit of suffering.
He regenerates, like, super quick. So, like, he hits it once.
He doesn't regenerate super quick.
He, like,
quick.
Has a burning sensation for, like, a year.
He would be in a coma.
And then he regrows his penis. He's like a gecko. You scare him and something falls off and it comes back.
Wolverine is not like a gecko.
You spook him, then, like, his leg drops.
No.
And then it grows back a little smaller.
No! Okay.
Anyway,
but you
get
into the comic line where Storm and Wolverine get together.
Now, don't they make an awesome baby?
Yes.
In one of the canons?
Yes.
Okay. I always thought that was Cable, but that's not Cable, right?
It's Cable.
I kept thinking he was Bishop.
That is Bishop. That is Bishop.
Okay.
Bishop is their kid, not Cable. Okay. Bishop.
Because what was it? I
Shit
movie.
Was it
and like,
wait, now I'm confused. Now I'm confused.
Wow.
So I gotta go to the internet. I'm all confused now.
Because I know one of them is their kid from the future.
Yes. And I keep wanting to say it's Cable, but it might be Bishop.
And I think the last movie I went to, I was like, hey guys, I know they're trying to show that steamy tension between Storm and stuff. I'm like, now we're going to see their kid from the future, right? And one of our friends, who we often will go to see movies with, is just like, actually, that is not Cable. Cable wore this. And like, I can't stand being mansplained to, especially by this motherfucker. But that's beside the point. But I'm like, no, I swear. I know that in one of the canons, they get hot and heavy, and they have an awesome future baby who's, like, there during all the apocalypse shit. And he's like, man, I need to go back in time and tell my parents to stop it before they get down and dirty and whatever.
It might be Bishop. Hold on. Now I gotta, like...
Because I know it's one of them. I just don't know which one. And, I mean, I thought Cable rocked, like, the yellow and the blue, very similar to Daddy. Had the long, curly hair like his mommy Storm. That's why I thought it was Cable, but I could be wrong. I could be wrong.
I gotta go to the Marvel Universe and look that shit up, because now I'm like, shit, is it?
I wonder if you put in the search bar Storm plus Wolverine equals and see what happens. Actually, I now want to do that because I'm very curious as to what happens when that happens. I love X-Men math. It's the only math that should exist.
It is the only math that should exist. It's not, but it's the only one that should. Hold up. Okay.
I just hope I don't see a picture of, like, a dead Wolverine being Wolverine.
No. You won't. I think it is Bishop. Maybe not.
I know it's one of them. I just don't know which one.
It's one of them. I don't know. Internet's not fast enough.
That's okay. It will come to us eventually.
It will. Eventually. But
yeah, that's what I thought. Bishop. I thought it was Bishop or Cable. I could be wrong. Anyway.
Yeah.
Moving right along.
That's basically all I got. So, I think at this point, you get to bring up your last.
All right. So, okay.
By the way, Cable is Cyclops' kid.
Okay, so it's not Cable.
No.
Okay, maybe it's Bishop.
Might be.
But anyway. As to date, I have not seen Civil War yet. I'm seeing it tomorrow. So I can't wait to be a part of that bandwagon. That's like
Team Iron Man. No, I'm just saying right now, Team Iron Man.
But here's the thing, though.
I'm
going to watch the movie, and I'm going to enjoy the movie. But I totally think Bucky is fucking hot. And I totally can't wait to see the Winter Soldier.
You know what? Bucky's hot. But I'm going to tell you right now, Panda, you're going to get through the movie. And I'm going to say this right now. If at the end of the movie you're not like, fuck Bucky, then I don't know if we can be friends.
Really?
Team Iron Man.
Well, I mean, but we're family, so we'll always be connected.
We'll always be connected, but I don't know if we can be friends. Just watch the movie.
And then you tell me, but I'm going to tell you right now, I was Team Iron Man going into the movie, and I was damn sure Team Iron Man coming out. That's all I'm going to say.
All right.
So you watch the movie, and then I want you to text me when you finish watching the movie.
And tell you what team I'm on?
Yep.
Oh, God. I'm sorry, but I can only see this going one of two ways. Either because we are related, we will agree, or just because it would be more awesome if we both had counter arguments, and then we had a real civil war on our hands.
I'm telling you right now, if you can, legitimately after watching the movie, I don't know how you can be Team Cap.
All right,
you
well.
You specifically. Not people in general, but you specifically.
Okay.
Because of some of the beliefs that you have. So watch the movie.
I will. I'm gonna.
And then as soon as the credits start rolling, I want you to text me.
Okay.
And just hashtag whatever team you're on.
Hashtag Team Panda.
You pussy. You would do something like that.
I would.
You and would. You know, and then I'd be like, no, fuck wad, pick.
In May of last year, the Disney Infinity games were discontinued, which upset collectors greatly, including Ninja Sista.
I am now on a mission to try and track down, like, all of the Marvel characters that I've been, like, holding my ass for, because...
Hold that ass.
Yeah, because I was like, I want Black Panther, and, like, I've got Thor, finally, but I wanted Black Panther, and who was the other one that I wanted? I wanted a Loki, and I just hadn't seen them, like, out and about, because I, at the time, was like, oh, I'm not gonna be that person that just buys, like, 10 of them on Amazon, because that's kind of cheap or cheesy, and now I'm like... It's going to be the only way I'm going to get them, because they're about to be, like, gone as a motherfucker. So I've got my Wreck-It Ralph guys. I've got my... I've got to beef up my Star Wars guys, because I need a Vader, because I don't have a Vader. I need Vader, and I need Luke. And I'm trying to think of who else I need. I have my Jack Skellington, so I'm good there. But I'm like, I need at least Gamora and Rocket... for Guardians, because those are my favorite characters, really. And, I'm really sad, though, that, like, Infinity is dropping. I was really looking forward to, you know, a lot more of the classic characters coming out, to put on my mantle, because my plan was to take everything that I currently have on my top of my mantle, which is my favorite collector's edition stuff, and moving that all to storage and making my entire mantle nothing but Disney Infinity and, like, the handful of amiibos that I have. And now I'm really sad that it's going away, because I do think that Infinity is one of the more creative games that worked for the whole family on multiple levels. You know, I've talked before about how it was one of those games that parents could play with their kids and, you know, feel like a kid again, remembering the characters and some of the cartoons and things that they grew up with, and now being able to share that comfortably with their kids. But most of the mini games, while some of them were very simple, some of them were very complex. And so it could be, you know, as tough as a Lara Croft level, especially when you start getting into what people were creating in the creator space and releasing out to the world. It was really a very neat ecosystem, and I'm very sad to see Disney discontinue it.
You know, but here's the thing, at least from my perspective.
Yes?
You get some companies who have a great idea. Yay, I have this great idea. Let's do this great idea. And it actually has some merit, which is obviously seen through some of the profits. Like when they first were like, we're going to do this. We're going into this niche-ish, fad-ish game trend. And they put their best effort, I feel, into it. And I think just the timing might have not have been exact, because we'd already had Skylanders out. And, you know, Amiibos were finally kind of hitting their stride. And I just feel like in terms of their timing... was just a little off, and it was near the end of that whole big craze. Like,
well,
if it come out...
I'm going to step back here, because the Disney Infinity game came out before Amiibos actually hit and started to sell. the first Disney Infinity game. So you had Skylanders, then you had Infinity, and then you had Amiibos.
Well, then maybe they just didn't have a strong enough presence. Because when Amiibos dropped, people lost their fucking mind.
Because it's Nintendo. And, like, that's one of the things that we had talked about was, like, when Amiibos drop, they're going to take the floor out of the market because Nintendo is Nintendo, you know? And so...
In the Batman universe, there are almost enough Robins to field a basketball team. Ninja and Panda spent a lot of time in episode 481 trying to tell them apart.
Well, what's really funny for me, and I'm going to steal the mic now, is one of the things that I was going to be talking about next week is I'm picking up Justice League versus Teen Titans.
Oh?
Yeah, so there's a new movie out.
Animated movie?
Animated movie.
Okay, thank God, because...
Which has the Justice League fighting the Titans. And it's the Titans actually as their older teens, so not the...
So wait, but wait a minute. But Justice League has Robin.
Gotta remember, has Nightwing.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right. Okay. Oh, my brain.
Justice League has Nightwing.
Okay. There are too many Robins.
There's a point where Robin is working to become a League member, but the existing member at the time is Nightwing.
No, wait. Can we make a little very...
we can make a little tour. We can take a detour, yes.
So I just want to make sure...
Remember, the Bat family is big.
Yeah. Okay, so...
You have multiple Robins and multiple Batgirls.
So, first Robin... becomes Nightwing. Is that the one
who... All right, wait. How far do you want to go back to declare first Robin? Well, do you want to just focus on the animated world?
Yeah.
Okay.
Here's the thing I don't understand.
Your first Robin eventually grows up and becomes Nightwing.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Your first Robin.
All right. So...
The subsequent Robin after that, for you... For the timeline, you know, is actually Damian Wayne, Bruce's actual son.
Okay. All right. Okay.
All right. With Talia al Ghul.
Okay. Alrighty.
Okay. All right. The League. So Raj gets killed. The League of Assassins basically is scattered to the winds. Talia is in danger and decides that it would be best for Damian to grow up with his father and have male guidance because he's at a point where she feels like too much of maybe Raj might be in him and it would be good for him to develop some of the skills that she finds valuable in Bruce Wayne. So ultimately...
Well, I mean, she did let him get some.
No, she didn't let him get some. She basically... So it depends on where you pick up the story. If you go the animated route, she basically drugged and raped Bruce to get pregnant.
I'm not going to say...
Because Raj and Talia... It's
an equal opportunity thing.
Wait, but... No, come on, let me get through this now. But basically, she drugged and raped Bruce Wayne in the animated world, because I don't know that they ever did... this story on how Damian came to be in comics, because I haven't really read a lot of the Damian Wayne stuff. But anyway, so in the animated movies, and they explain it in the Son of Batman.
Right, okay.
I believe is the animated flick. You should come over. I have them all. We can go through it, and it will help you. It will help you a lot. But basically, she, you know, because Raj wanted Bruce to be his heir, and threw his daughter at him as part of the thing, and also having access to the Lazarus Pit.
Because my daughter, she is so sexy and capable.
He valued
it. You'll live forever.
Because he valued Bruce Wayne's skills.
Okay.
As, you know, he always called him the detective out of respect, because he was able to use his intellect to figure out many things, and then trained his body to be just as strong to match, and there's an admiration in that to exact your revenge. I think that the Raj in the animated line saw a lot of himself in Bruce, which is why he saw him as a perfect successor to him when his time was going to be up, and why he offered him the League of Assassins and his daughter and all that kind of stuff. Because there were many episodes of the animated series where Raj was constantly trying to convert Bruce over to the League and to be his heir.
and, you know, bed his daughter. And he was like, look, Talia's gorgeous and all that kind of stuff, but no. So ultimately, at one point, through one of their attempts, Talia actually drugged Bruce and got knocked up because she makes an allusion to it. And she's like, well, you know, there are things that you need to do with your son. And Bruce is like, yeah, that was not of my choosing. And she's like, oh, Bruce, don't worry. You had fun. Legit. She's like, you had a good time.
You enjoyed the swirly thing. You liked
it. Yeah. But basically, she raped Bruce Wayne and got herself pregnant with Damian and raised Damian with Raj. And through the battle and the fall of the assassins, brought Damian, who I think, like, in the animated flick at the time, was probably somewhere in the range of, like, between 10 and 13. So perfect, perfect Robin age.
Right, okay.
At a point where Batman is without Robin, because his previous Robin is grown Nightwing, off in Bloodhaven doing shit.
Right.
Okay, so he's in need of a ward. Damian comes into his life, and ultimately Damian becomes Robin for a while.
So here's where I think for me, because I know there are so many different converting timelines.
Right, and the Robin that's in Teen Titans is not Damian.
Okay.
And the Robin that is in Teen Titans is not Nightwing.
Okay. All right. Because here's where I get them all messed up.
Yes.
Because, so I've got that confusion in the animated series. And then I obviously am getting confused in the Arkham Knight story.
Yes.
A little bit. And then, of course, I love Batmetal, which if you've never watched a Batmetal, you need to, because it's amazing. But, so, in Batmetal, and that's where I'm going to reference where my confusion is because it's, so, somebody animated Batman, the Robin slash Red Hood slash another guy who I don't recognize, and they're a band.
Right,
and
so Jason Todd is Red Hood.
Right. I know that.
Okay.
That came out in the last Arkham game.
Right.
Because you saw how the Joker tortured the fuck out of him and all that shit, and... Because didn't the Joker nearly kill him? Like, tortured him to the point where he nearly died? Okay,
so here's the thing. So, Jason Todd's story, and I only know pieces of it, Jason Todd is one of the saddest Robins that happened. So, by the animated story, which the animated story is the one that I've seen most recently, because it's been a long time since I've read any... Jason Todd comics. Jason Todd, as far as Batman was concerned, died. Okay? He's the Robin that almost broke Batman.
Okay?
He didn't break, but he almost did because, yes, the Joker did kidnap him, beat and tortured the fuck out of him, and ultimately blew him up with Batman racing to get to him to save him and not being able to do it in time.
Okay. All right.
So, Batman went bonkers, almost killed the Joker, but didn't kill the Joker. So, the Red Hood animated feature that you're talking about is, as it turns out, Jason Todd did not die. But when he found out that the Joker was alive, that Batman didn't kill him, knowing that Batman knew that the Joker did horrible things to him and killed him, he became pissed at the Batman for not taking the ultimate revenge and donned and became the Red Hood. If you go into the video game, the last Batman Arkham game.
Yeah.
Okay. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, okay. Here it comes.
All right. And you're wondering who the, what's his name? The Arkham Knight.
Yeah.
That's exactly. Jason Todd. Okay. And that's why he's pissed at Batman. So they made him the Arkham Knight instead of making him Red Hood.
So that the reveal would be traumatic when you, or rather, oh my God,
And it's why it makes so much sense that he's very personally attacking Batman throughout the whole game. Because he knows his training, his movement, his weaknesses, and the perceived stuff, right? All
right. Right.
So let's go back, right? So in your line of Robins, you have Dick Grayson, you have Jason Todd, you have Tim Drake, you have Stephanie Brown, and you have Damian Wayne.
Okay.
Those are your Robins.
Okay.
In the known world.
So the Robin in just in Teen Titans is not Todd and is not Drake.
So in Teen Titans, I believe that it is Tim Drake.
Oh, okay. That is
in Titans. Because Dick Grayson is Nightwing.
Okay. Okay.
And I don't believe that it's Jason Todd, because he's too perky and too focused right. on to be Jason Todd. So I believe the Titan one is Tim Drake.
So Nightwing in that scenario was Robin 1. The one in Teen Titans currently is Robin 3, because they didn't... Todd is the second one, and that is not him.
Yeah, I don't believe... Okay. I don't believe...
So then who's the Robin... That's
Jason Todd.
Well, wait, because actually in the Justice League, it's back.
Todd might be Nightwing.
In this regard?
Might be.
Okay.
Might be.
All right. I was just confused, because I know it seems like... I kept thinking about it in that mind scheme of Pokemon. I'm like, Robin evolves into Nightwing! And I'm like, but...
Yeah, Robin does evolve into Nightwing. This is true.
Because one Robin turned into the Red Hood, and then another Robin did this other thing. And
he's like an Eevee. He has multiple evolution possibilities.
Right, yeah, the evolution of Robins. But anyway, oh man, like it just, so much stuff, it's so much. But as you were saying, you were watching the latest animated movie.
Yes, yeah. Oh, sorry. Tim, I was just like, I'm thinking like through things and I just got on the internet. So yeah, so Tim Drake is the Teen Titans Robin.
Okay, alrighty then. Got it.
So, good. Hopefully that good. Helps.
Good, I'm glad I got some clarification.
It took me a hot second to find it.
There's too many Robins in the soup.
There's lots of Robins. There are many Robins.
And I'm like, it can't be the same one. It can't, because there's been too many. And I just wanted some clarification, so thank you for that. I feel better now. I mean, it's kind of like the Zelda games, because all these great Zelda games came out, but they don't come out in the right order, so you're sitting there trying to red line of faith all of them, so you can get the right chronological order of occurrence and character, and I just got all messed up in the Robins.
Yeah,
I
was like, yeah.
There's too many Robins.
Grayson becomes Nightwing. Todd eventually becomes Red Hood after being a Robin.
For a bit.
Yeah. Tim Drake also gets fucked up as Robin at one point.
It's such a coveted position, but it also comes with a lot of danger.
The verse gets really fucked up, okay? Because you have all different kinds of things happen, and then you have Crisis, which fucks everybody's thing. Then you had New 52, and so a lot of characters, their stories get changed, things get revisioned, because for a while... Nobody, when they thought of having Nightwing, no one wanted to take Dick Grayson and turn Dick Grayson into Nightwing. Because Dick Grayson was such a beloved and revered...
Robin.
And they wanted Nightwing to be able to be a little bit dark. So that's part of the reason why Todd's Robin was invented. So they would have a progression.
So Dick Grayson's way too happy. He's come from a really bad situation and has risen above. But what happens when you don't?
Right. And so then how do you take this character that you know has overcome this thing and really had been a very, very positive Robin, even though all the crap that he had been through, and how do you then justify the shift that they want to be able to take Nightwing in? Because Nightwing, they want to grow into a character that is in a similar place to Batman,
okay,
which becomes a very dark place, right? Like, right. Batman is vengeance. He just isn't killing. And so it doesn't make sense to have Dick Grayson Robin do that.
Right.
Right? So that's part of the reason why they made Jason Todd. They went, okay, we're going to give him this dark challenge that he's going to overcome or try to overcome. And that's going to lead the segue into why he can be this thing that Batman is not. And then ultimately that turns into Red Hood. Like, Red Hood will cap a motherfucker real quick.
Right.
No problems with that.
And granted, several cannons down the road, you've got a Batman who's totally willing to shoot people because gives zero.
Technically, cannons. But again, the world gets so...
It's all canon.
It's all canon and not canon. You know, the stuff that's not canon is not canon. I can't wait. Speaking of non-canon, before I get into the video game stuff, I cannot wait for the Killing Joke movie. I'm really fucking ready. I'm so ready. My body is so ready.
Video games, because that detour was a hell of a detour.
It was totally worth it, though. So see, look, you got anime, you got comics, and now you're going to get game stuff. What? It's a trifecta podcast, people.
And that's about all the time we have for this episode. If you enjoyed this podcast, make sure you visit our website electricsisterhood.com and add us to your bookmarks so you can check out all the stuff we're writing about throughout the week. The entire team posts news and reviews on the site, so make sure you hit it up at electricsisterhood.com. If you have an iPhone or an iPad, you can also read our articles on Apple News. Subscribe to our podcast. You can do it right there from our homepage. You can subscribe to our podcast in iTunes or the podcast application on your iOS device. Just search for the Eshcast. You can also get it in Stitcher Radio, Google Play, VogueNetwork.com, and pretty much anywhere you can find fine podcasts. If you enjoy our show and the stuff we write about, which includes video games, anime, and general nerdery, make sure you enjoy the other voices in our network of shows. We feature shows like No Borders, No Race, a podcast and website hosted by King Baby Duck over at b3crew.com. Smashrook.com is helmed by Hamsterman2049, whose weekly video show can be found at twitch.tv/Hamsterman2049. Check out his streams live every Wednesday night. Make sure you check out Phil the Issues Guy. Phil's recap and review is on YouTube. Call in live and be part of the show. His archives can be found on his website at issuesprogram.com. Also be sure to visit the team at nerdcrave.com. They do all the nerd stuff. Everything you crave at nerdcrave.com. So bookmark all of our sites. Subscribe to all of our shows. There's even more to come. You can comment on our social networks. Give us a follow and a like. Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/electricsisterhood. On Facebook at facebook.com/landofesh. On Twitter and Instagram at ESHnews. Ask us questions. Comment on the stuff that we post. Share us with your friends. Let us know if there are games that you would like us to try or to review, or if there's anything you would like us to look at. That's it for the business. For Ninja Sista and Pandalicious, I'm Siri. And, just like Neil Diamond, I am, I said.
LA is fine, the sun shines most of the time, and the feeling is laid back. Palm trees grow and rents are low, but you know, keep thinking about making my way back. Well, I'm New York City born and raised, but nowadays I'm lost between two shores. LA is fine, but it ain't home. New York's home, but it ain't mine no more. I am myself to no one there, and no one heard at all, not even the chair. I cried, I am, said I, and I am lost, and I can't even say why. Leaving me lonely still, did you ever read about a frog who dreamed of being a king and then became one? Well, except for the names and a few other changes, if you talk about me, the story's the same one. But I got an emptiness deep inside that I've tried, but it won't let me go. And I'm not a man who likes to swear, but I never cared for the sound of being alone. I am myself to and no one heard at all, not even the chair. I cried. I am, said I, and I.